somebody unknown, said, "Blessed are those, blessed are they who have the gift of making friends, for it is one of God's greatest gifts." We all need friends. No man's an island. You've heard that one. The second scripture God laid on my heart was Hebrews 12, verse 1. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let us run the race with patience. And that scripture took me to that place to realize who ran the race actually before us so we can be here today. I can think of many people, not only our parents and role models and church pastors, but then I realized it is really Jesus Christ. If you just spend time in the Word, then you realize the way He worked with His disciples, the authority, the patience, the way He guided everything He did. He taught them, He loved them, He worked with them. And when I think about Jesus and my heart is so thankful, it takes me to Hebrews 13, verse 5. And that says that the work He started in you and me, He's never going to give up on that. Amen? He's never going to give up on that. That good thing He started in you. And Donnie said this morning during the offering that we have to claim it. It's there already. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "There is no sin He's not willing to forgive." I'm very thankful for that. There's no sin He's not willing to forgive. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, "He is able to bear every one of the anxieties that persist." He's able to do that. That is Jesus Christ who gave His life for us. And He is persistent. He never gives up. He never gives up, not on you or on me. I'm thankful for that. And then Psalm 106 verse 1 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." Amen. And you know what? God is with us all year round. He's just never taking leave. He's not taking a long weekend. He's not taking a Saturday afternoon off. He is with us always and always and always. And it saddens my heart when I look around me, what's going on in the world over December. People are spending money they don't have. They are trying to fill that void in their lives. And Jesus Christ is there. It's His presence. I'm thankful for fellowship. You know what? The privilege to have people around us who care. People you can send a WhatsApp message to or a phone call and say, "Please pray with me." Just to pray together, to worship together, fellowship. And then Emmanuel, God is with us. My heart is overflowing with those thoughts. Lamentations 3 verse 22 says, "Because of God, the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." And that brings me to people. Just look around. Look at the person sitting next to you. God has brought that person into your life with a specific reason. Maybe just for today, sitting here in church. It's not often that Tani, Letty, and you are sitting together. Tell me your name again. Lux? Lux. You see, I'm getting old. I'm so sorry. I apologize. We have people, and God has put us between people for a specific reason. And when you listen to people's testimonies just now, you will realize that we need people, because God has put them for a specific reason in our lives. And because of that goodness, it brings me to that place of living water. God and Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit is that source of eternal life. It never stops. It's living water. And He wants us to get into that water. A lady in our church shared her testimony this morning during intercession because she's busy with the kids. And her testimony this morning encouraged me so much because she said, last week during the service, she was overcome by the presence of that living water. A year ago, she was caught up in depression. Today, she's free because of the living water. Psalm 95 verse 2 says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Now, you will see I've put a word there, honesty. If I read that scripture, I have to be honest with myself and I have to be honest with God when I'm in His presence. He knows everything. He created me. You can hide some things from people around you, but when you're in His presence, be real. Just be honest. And then, the last aspect for me to be thankful today is for the boat. Do you know about the boat? Jesus said when He and His disciples were sitting in the boat, He calmed the storm. The boat is playing quite a role in the New Testament. But that boat, for me today, is a lot of reason to be thankful about. Because Jesus Christ said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's nothing we need to do to reflect His goodness, His life, His light, His life. Jesus said, come, just come. That's all you need to do. I will make you. But what is required from you is to be obedient. Just follow Him and put your hand in His hand. He will make you a fisher of men. Jesus really gave everything. And on that note of thankfulness, and as I said, we can continue for many weeks, I want to call forward the guys who is willing to share their testimonies. Teresa, can we start with you? Please. Maybe the rest of the people can just come to the front. It will make the flow much easier. Please.
Goeiemôre almal. Dit was nou sommer net vir myself ook 'n bevestiging dat ek dit nou moet share vanmôre. Ek gaan sommer daarmee afskop. Die sin wat nou hier onder op die skerm gewys het is come follow me, en ek het nou vir Marius gesê, gits, ek lees Kornei follow me. Want die come was 'n CO en dan die M was die R en die E en in die E. Dit was net vir my so duidelik. Wel, Kornei is my seun. Hy is 21 en hy werk in Amerika. En Oktober die jaar het Hurricane Matthew Florida getref. En ek was so bang. En dit was die grootste storm ooit wat Florida in 'n dekade sou tref. 2007 was die ergste een wat daar was, en nou is dit presies 'n dekade daarna, en Kornei is in Fort Lauderdale. En die orkaan het Florida getref, eers die Bahamas, het dit toe na kategorie 4 toe verander, en op pad Miami volgende Fort Lauderdale wat dit sou tref, het dit weer in 'n kategorie 5 ontaard. En dit was in 'n naweek waar ons almal bymekaar was in Gourits. En daarvoor is ek ook so dankbaar dat ons 'n familie het, 'n selfamilie, en ek het gevra hulle moet asseblief saam met my bid. Om daai storm stil te maak, en indien dit wel Kornei gaan tref, wat hoogs waarskynlik was, want volgens die pad wat uitgewys was, sou hy land tref op sy ergste. Het ek net regtig 'n onverklaarbare kalmte oor my gekry, want ek het geweet ek het al hierdie wonderlike mense, my familie, nie bloedfamilie nie, maar familie in Jesus, wat saam met my bid. En voor die orkaan het die Bahamas getref, vol getref, en op pad, eerste, sou hy weer Miami, na die Bahamas, en direk daarna Fort Lauderdale, het die orkaan in die see in, 100 en iets kilometer in die see, Miami gemis, Fort Lauderdale gemis, en weer Daytona Beach getref. So, die Here het nie net die orkaan is nie so erg laat tref waar Corneille was, he, maar hy het stil gemaak. En ek gaan dadelik vir Corneille bel as ek by die huis kom, want dit is my so duidelike boodskap nou gewees van come, follow me, en dit was net vir my so bevestiging, Corneille, kom follow my, en ek sal van jou 'n visser van mense maak, en ek dink daar is 'n rede, en ek glo dat ja, die Here op mysterious ways praat, en net, julle word soos kinders, gaan na die Here toe, en gaan bid opreg aan sy voetebank soos 'n kind, en glo dit, en die Here sal vir jou gee, en nog meer, as wat jy ooit kon dink om voor te vra. Ok, dankie.
Dankie, Teresa. God is good, and He can take away that hurricane. Thanks for sharing that. Sorry, just on the practical note, each one has 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Goeiemôre, ek is Natasha. Om mee te begin, ek het verlede jaar het ek glad nie regtig die Here geken nie. En ek het my graad 11 jaar gepluk. En die jaar het ek en my tannie, my ma, en my tannie Sally en tannie Marina van Life Community Service, hulle het my gehelp om my in 'n skool te sit hier in George, want ek het verlede jaar in Willowmore gebly, en om eerlik te wees, geen skool was oop vir my gewees hier, en ek het loop hard gebid dat God net vir my 'n skool moet, a plek vir my het in 'n skool, en ons het nie Glenwood probeer nie, want ons allemaal weet Glenwood is expensive. Ja, en ek het vir die Here gewerk, ek het heel jaar gewerk vir die Here, en ek kon sien dat, aangesien ek hier God verlede jaar geken het, wou hy my net die jaar weer plat op die aarde hee, en dat ek weer kan besef dat hy is groter as alles en al my probleme, en ek het hom net weer begin leer ken die jaar, en ons het toe, 2 maande terug, het ons Glenwood probeer, aangesien nie geen skool my wil hee nie, en Glenwood is soos like, yeah, ons soek vir jou. So ek is nou in Glenwood, en deur die jaar het ek so baie van die Here geleer, op die Amkamp het ek, saam Jay uitgele, het ek weer begin visions kry, en ek het my gedoop by die kerk. So alles was net amazing die jaar, en ek was nou op die GKC Glenwood Career Challenge Camp, en ek het val gehad. Ons het met die fiets gery, ons het 90 kilometer gery, en ons het Rooiberg gery, weet jy wie weet wat Rooiberg is nie, maar die berg loop nie so, nie, hy loop so, en toe ons afdraan gaan, het ek so hard gaan val. Ek kon letterlik die pyn in my liggaam voel. Almal wat gesien het, het geval, het gedink ek het my arm gebreek. En die dokter was net 'n paar tree van my af. En toe hy kom, toe is die pyn weg. Letterlik weg. So, ons is vir Miracle God.
Thank you, Natasha. And God can even provide a school. Thank you for that, Mabel.
Goeiemôre almal. My naam is Mavis, ek is van Life Community Services, maar ek wil graag my testimonie begin voor ek daar begin werk het. Ek het, in die begin van die jaar was ek by Morrison kinderhuis, en I thought, you know, I was doing God's will and God's work, but Satan wasn't happy, okay? I was, within 24 hours, I was put off the ground, I was humiliated, and I completely lost my identity in Christ. I completely lost all self-worth. And my husband went, he was at that stage working for life, and he just went to Morena, and Sally said, they've absolutely killed my wife's spirit. And they didn't know me off a bar of soap. And my husband just came that home that night, and he said, you will volunteer tomorrow at life. And I was like, I can't show my face. And he said, no, you will. So the next morning, he basically dressed me. And he dragged me off to life. And God gave me life there. And ever since, he nurtured me. He gave me two amazing spiritual mothers there, Sally and Morena. And they nursed me back to health. And the one day, Morena called me in. She said, do you know what your name means? And I'm like, yeah, somebody told me it was song. She goes, in one language it means song, another one joy. And it struck me then, during my time, Lord gave me two scriptures. One, James verse 2, where it says in the New Language Translation, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it pure joy. I was like, God, where's joy in this? And then Psalm 5 verse 11, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when that hit, I started working at life out of a thankful heart. And suddenly, the seeds that I was planting grew. And as you just heard my daughter, she's one of the most amazing gifts God has given me this year. And my husband, thank you for dragging me to life. Love you.
Thank you, Mavis. We do serve a living, amazing God. Gaan jy van sing? Hallelujah.
I like this place. They don't give me a lot of time to stand here, so I just give me the privilege. I wrote in Afrikaans, so forgive me if I have poor English. I just want to say thank you to family, and especially the cell group family. And we went through amazing year and praying together and standing in agreement with each other and crying and having breakthrough. And then we had to multiply to make place for more family, like Ernst and beautiful people that the Lord put to our church. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that's in our cell family and for everything we went through the year. And yeah, this is really very precious. And then, because I'm a mother, I just want to share quick testimonies of my children. Each one, I know, I think when you have children, they're so close to you, so everything they go through, you go through. So our youngest one is grade 2. In the beginning of the year, the teacher called me in and said, listen, I think you need some extra this and some extra that, some occupational therapy and la, la, la. And I said, okay, I will do what I can. But we pray about it and didn't take him for occupational therapy. He did have occupational therapy before, but I took him for swimming and we put in extra time with reading and all sorts of things. And by, I think, September or just after July, it was like everything just came together in his brain. And I was so amazed. And the teacher one night sent me a WhatsApp and she said she's lying on bed in her bed and she's so discouraged about teachers that's not thankful for everything she does. And then she think about Juan and she think this is, he make it worthwhile for her. Because he came in the beginning of the year and he was so shy and so insecure. And then suddenly he started finding out who he is, and he was just starting to blossom in her class. And I just cried and said, thank you, Lord. And then 1 minute. And then Leon, our eldest son, they don't like to be talked about. But in school, he struggled quite a lot with his language. It was his poorest subject. And now he finished in English his personal training diploma. So we're so thankful and proud of him for that. And we're flying colors. And Dewald is not here, so I can quickly talk about him. when he started his first year at university, and everyone said, you won't get place in residence. And we just said, we served the Almighty God. We applied, and within 2 weeks, he got place in residence. And he said it's his best year ever. He got lovely friends, and we pray a lot for him, for protection and against all the beautiful girls. And we had a conversation and he said, Mother, I don't want to just date girls. I want to wait for the right person. So I thought, wow, this is so mature. Lastly, joy. Last week, in the presence of the Lord just showed me that, like what Paul Bevan said, we must walk through our difficulty. And last year, my dad died suddenly and my brother got divorced, so there was lots of hardships. And I asked the Lord to help me through it, but I didn't really invite him into walking through that shadow in the valley of death. So last week, I really invited him in that place, and it was just tremendous, the joy that I received after that, in a place of darkness and not getting all my joy back. So invite the Lord in your dark places, in your difficult journey. He wants to walk through you with it. But don't stop this side and try and get a bit of joy here or at the wrong places. Ask him to walk through you with everything that's difficult for you.
You know what, Annika, thank you. For me, I just know that God wants us gedra vir jou. God wants us to be vulnerable about our emotions and everything. And sometimes we might humiliate our children about talking about them in front of them, etc. So thank you.
They give me the mic a lot. I don't know why. No. I'm going to take a minute longer because Amu asked me to share what's happened in the evening service in the last year or so. So God's been really good. 4 minutes. Wow. Yes, I'm really special. Multiply. So I think who was here at the first evening service? I think you were here, Mark, eh? And then there's some other. I think there were 12 people in the first evening service about what, 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, you were first year, eh? Yeah, so that was that. So it's 12 people, and so there were, it's been doing this for the last few years, and so we ended off last year, I think, with about 60 people or so in the evening service, and then we started the year with 30 people, and then we've been consistently having for the last 6 months at least about 100 to 120 people in our evening services. It makes me look very good, but I think what God has really shown me is the nature of teamwork, you know, and how I was sharing with a few people how, you know, by his wisdom and by his grace, he never allows one person to succeed on their own, but it's always one person in community with other, the whole concept of the body of Christ, you know. And so there's been a lot of key people that have got involved. I think Johan is definitely one of them, and there's always JH. Where's JH? Is he here? Yes, man. JH all the time, and Ludovic and Lizette. You know, and there's really been a team that has really built up, especially this year, you know, with the youth that has come in from Otaniqua. Hey, James, you can represent. There's been such a team dynamic which has grown the church, and there's such a hunger to experience God and to seek God, and it's really amazing being part of that. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. Especially you as well, Jeannie. Yes, cool. Okay, but what I want to get to is what I'm actually thankful today. On that note, I was thinking today, this morning, about what I'm going to share, and I was thinking also back to the roots of this church, and I think this Shofar Church was planted in 2010, and I think there's some original members. There's Bernard at the back there. Hello. Khanat, I don't know, were you? Ben, but Ben was still, you were still a student back then, eh? Weren't you? Were you finished? Fani was there. Who else? JH? Were you there? Who else? Steenhuisen's near. You guys came a bit later. The Baths came a bit later. You came a bit later. Donnie, you've also been around for a while. But I've been thinking a lot about you guys, and I just want to say thank you to you guys, because we look at where the church is today and how many people are sitting in this hall and the children's church that has all also done so well, thanks to Harvey and his wife. And I just want to give honor to you guys for sowing in and for being part of our lives and for sticking it out. Especially, when you look at this church over here, it's so easy to set up in the mornings, and Bannard's told me stories in the past how they drove to Muesenberg and, you know, unpacked there, and then you have to drive back, pack everything up and drive back to George, and, you know. But there's a faithfulness, a week in and a week out faithfulness, and we are sitting with the fruits here. So I just want to, can you guys stand up? All of you guys, all of the old crowd. I see you. Come, stand up. Yeah, the boss as well. All you guys been here. Let's just give them a round of applause. Okay, sit down. Yeah, just thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for serving. Thank you that also just a lot of you have sown into me personally, and thank you. Thank you for all of that. Cheers.
Thank you, Luke. You and your wife are really an example of diligence and obedience by the way you go about serving God on the campus and in church. Thank you. Brother E.
Thank you, Sister C. I prepared in English. That's why I was late this morning, because I had to prepare in English. It's difficult in English and stuff. So, hi. I'm going to try and do this justice in 2 minutes. So, 2 minutes. I only get two, Luke. Anyhow, late 2014, God started giving me these amazing promises. He started affirming me. I had from multiple sources the same words to me, saying, yeah, he affirmed me. When God really boosts you like that, sometimes you must think that something is coming. So the following period, 2015 and quite a bit of this year, was one of the roughest times of extremes that we as a family and myself ever experienced. But the scripture that God gave me at the beginning of this was Psalm 37, and I'll just read a bit of it from verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So, enter 2015. At that point in time, soon thereafter, things at work, or many things that I placed a lot of trust and hope in, expectation, things that looked like God's promises coming to fulfillment, tumbled, went into shatters. Together with that, it was a year with many expenses. We had kids going to, all of us went with them for chess to Kimberley and to Bloom for fencing and to Bloom for squash and all these expenses. And we had an outreach planned to Namibia in July. I had to buy a car for that, specifically for the outreach. Many expenses. Together with that, the work seemed to fall apart. About March, I got a call one afternoon, and we were busy getting new business, and basically it said, it's not working out. Tomorrow, go to your main customer and tell them, thanks, but no thanks. We have to stop the project, and basically we're closing shop in SA. That was a bit of a shocker. But the next morning, as I drove into the parking lot of the customer whom I had to say, thanks, but no thanks, I had another call saying, okay, we'll go ahead. And just by God's grace, they allowed us to continue. That was the start of a hectic project, ups and downs. The first, it was a pilot. I have never, well, seldom before had to apologize so many times on behalf of a company. You know, things that you promised that they bought, that you can't deliver, that you tried to deliver and it failed. And in the midst of all this, we had our 20th anniversary. So there's all this lack and all this possibility of everything falling apart, but now we go to Europe for holiday. It's crazy. It's crazy. So there was these extremes of challenge versus just blessing. So And in the midst of all that, I got a huge bonus from the work, really significant, big bonus. And other people's achievements got credited to me. Other people that left the company because of the hard times, their achievements got credited to me. I can think about a scripture that kind of says that. And it was just amazing. So, but the year was so stressful, I really got, it was like I was in a black, slippery hole, got stressed. The doctor actually wanted to give me antidepressants. He said, I must take antidepressants. It was really a tough time. So this is me, a leader in church, saying, despite everything I knew, all the promises I knew, it was a tough time. You couldn't see the light. It was like in here, you know that feeling, despair. But in hindsight, God delivered me. As per Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Psalm 34, verse 19. So this is me giving God the glory. It's not because I prayed, because I persevered, because I worked. I did all those things, but it's God that gets the glory. He really fulfilled that. And I want to take one short extra bit of time to share a piece of John Piper. Acts 17, 24 to 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all to mankind life and breath and everything. So we do not glorify God by providing his needs, but by praying that he would provide ours and trusting him to answer. Okay? So God is insisting that we ask him to give us help so that he gets the glory. Psalm 50, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You shall glorify me. We must take special care to let him serve us, lest we rob him of his glory. Mark 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He aims to be the servant, and he aims to get the glory. So I just want to encourage all of us to give God the glory, because he really deserves the glory. He is the provider. Amen.
Thank you, Edwin. Calvin.
First, I just want to thank your leaders for trusting a cold food money key. You guys don't even know me. Just come share my testimony. So thank you so much. I'm thankful to Shofar George. My name is Calvin. I'm a student in Stellenbosch, part of Shofar Stellenbosch. My friend as well there, Marlon. We actually traveled all the way from Grootbrak because we wanted to come to Shofar specifically. So we're like, yes, we're so glad there isn't George. And I will unfortunately go a bit longer than 2 minutes, but just warning you guys. So I'm standing here as a testimony of a mother who actually just prayed and prayed and prayed my whole life. So I just want to encourage you mothers, if you're praying for your children to come home, trust, just keep on going, because I'm standing here just because of that. So grew up in a home, Christian home, but I grew up knowing that there is the Lord, like who the Lord is, but I saw something different in my mom, because she had something different. So I grew up with that, knowing who God is. Actually, in grade 9 and grade 10, I actually discovered the Holy Spirit, but like I actually pursued a relationship with the Holy Spirit as well and got baptized and everything. And then all of a sudden in high school, I backslid and I just got so lost in the world. And anyway, went into my first year after having a very hectic matric year, a lot of responsibilities, etc. And went in my first year, Stellenbosch is a super awesome kair black. So really enjoyed that. Got very stuck into that. Just the freedom and, drinking and partying and just feeling that, living for now. Anyway, so my first year was basically just getting wasted on Wednesday and Friday nights. And meanwhile, also playing rugby, which is weird. I don't understand how that combo works. But anyway, went and played, was the whole time kairing and stuff. Then beginning of this year, I broke up with my girlfriend. We were together for 3 years. We broke up in the beginning of this year. I just had like this feeling like we needed to break up now. Thinking back, it was definitely the Holy Spirit that told me anyway. And so broke up. I said to her, like, I need to find God again. And I even told my friend Maron, I was like, yo, I need to come to Seoul. Like, I know I want to come to Seoul. That was the beginning of the year. Anyway, the year went on. And there was Yule time and just kept on kiting. Just wanted to suppress all the emotions of my girlfriend and I's breakup and etc. And I was also playing a lot of rugby at that stage. We were playing for like the junior varsity cup thing, like the young guns. And so we were training the whole time with that. And my identity was so lost in the world, so lost in rugby. And yeah, so the whole time they kept on asking me, come to cell, come to cell. And I kept saying to them, like, no, I've got practice. Like, I'm not going to come. And so the one we played the Monday, it was, I think it was the early in February, we played. And we played against my own residents. And we played the game. Before the game, my ankle was very sore, didn't understand what was going on. Played the rugby game. Next morning, woke up, ankle swollen, cannot even walk. Decided I needed to go to the physio because, you know, obviously something not lacquer. Get to the physio. She's like, what did you do? I said, I don't know. She sends me for x-rays and, go the next morning, get the x-rays back. She tells me that a little bone had chipped off in my ankle and that I needed to get an operation. It would take 6 weeks. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, I don't know. I call my parents, just crying. I'm just like, I don't understand what's going on. And then Wednesday nights, or our cell nights, so this is Wednesday morning. So they came to me, Marlon came to me again. He's like, hey, dude, come to cell. And now I'm like, I don't really have an option. I'm on crutches, can't do anything. Then I had to go to cell. And went to cell, sure, it was so awesome. I just started, it was five guys just being real with each other, not just being these fake Christians, like being real. And I opened my heart. I said to them, hey guys, like my life with God is like a roller coaster. Like I'm always up or I'm down. I'm never consistent with God, and it was super cool. Go the next night, go to Encounter One. I'm not sure if Sheffield George has Encounter One, but okay, awesome. So go to Encounter One, and now I'm there talking about salvation, and super convicted. Go to the front. He's like, so who wants to come give their heart to the Lord? I'm like, okay, anyway. And it was there when our pastor looked in my eyes and he said to me, oh, son, your life with the Lord is like a roller coaster, and you're always up and you're down. And the Lord's telling you, you always want to do everything on your own, but he wants to drive the car. He wants you to get in the passenger seat and let him drive. I just stood there. I was like, yo, that's amazing. Go to this evening service on Sunday. Super convicting sermon. It was just all about, like, you all are fans of Jesus. No one's following. No one's disciples of the Lord. And then the next Monday, go to the orthopedic surgeon to go find out, you know, do I need an operation? Like, just get a second opinion. And, yeah, he looks at the x-rays, calls a colleague, and actually looks at my father and I. He says, the lady who diagnosed you got it completely wrong. You don't need an operation. You just need an inspating and the bone will disappear. So then actually Marlon came to me. He's like, it's as if God knew you would never fully give yourself to him. So he's going to take a week off where he's going to change it for you. Since then, the Lord has delivered me from pornography and masturbation. And I can't explain to you how much that means to me, especially being so stuck in it. And then also, I always thought, like, I need a big testimony in my life. I'm glad the Lord gave me one. But actually, I just want to say to every single one of you, like, we don't realize the biggest testimony that we have is that we were all dead and now that we've been risen. And we always think we need this great story and stuff like that. But the fact that eternally that we're going to be in heaven one day, I don't think we realize what the Lord's really done for us. I just want to encourage you, when you're speaking to others, just be so happy that what's happened to you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Dis 'n half minuut, maar ek wil net praat oor God se goedheid. Ek is bietjie ouer as julle, en ek sê gisteraand vir my vrou, ons is 56 jaar getroud, en dis jy wat dit moontlik gemaak het. Maar nie te min, die Heer het ons met soveel goed geseën. Ek wil nie als vandag praat, dis het gesê 'n minuut, en ek gaan 'n half minuut gebruik. 'N klein dingetjie, maar is baie groot. Ek is 'n onderwyser in Kimberley, en in 1975 val daar 'n visie hoofpos oop, en ek doen aansoek vir die pos. Maar iemand anders kry die pos. En het was nogal controversieel onder die personeel, enzovoorts. En ons is een beetje teleurgesteld, want ons wil graag in Kimberley bly. En Kimberley is vandag 34 graden Celsius. In elk geval, een jaar daarna kreeg ik een post als uit Jankwurf. Tenminste, als de Vieshoof in George. En net een jaar daarna, toen maakte de Heer mij uit Jankwurf. Nou, 7 mei, is God goed of is hij niet goed? Nee. Ik weet niet wieveel er was uit Jankwurf, die man, dat is een lekker post. Je stuurt je verantwoordelijkheid boven toe en je werk onder toe. Och, wonderlijk. Prijs de Heer.
This is why I just love my church family. God is good. Just close your eyes with me, please. Father God, in Jesus' name we come before you, believing in your almightiness, that the power of your hand does move us, chasten us, build us. And Father, thank you for every testimony. And it goes back to word, to the scripture. Let this word of God sink into our hearts today, this day. Make us, O God, worthy of the name we bear, that we may go about as real, holy saints of God, just as if you were on earth. Fill us, God, with your anointing, your power, and your grace. Amen. We are done, and I'm just going to end off with a piece of scripture, but I would like you to stand with me. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It's just for me the cherry on top of a thankful heart. And Psalm 150, the psalm writer, really just captures the essence of God. And if you can just pray this in your hearts while I'm reading it, because if I read Psalm 150, for me, it's like a parallel journey through life. And for me, it also takes us back to the two ways we have. It's either a way to life or to death. If we choose God's way, and I can promise you that today, we will still face blessings and troubles. We will face joy and grief. We will face success and obstacles. But through all, God is at our side. And He is guiding us. He is encouraging us. He is comforting us. And He is caring. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the heavens of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to the abundance of His greatness. Praise Him with trumpet and sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with stringed and wind instruments or flutes. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you that you came to live inside us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you for every day of 2016 specifically that you had your arms around us. That your light really showed us the way to go. It was that lamp unto our feet. It was the light on our paths. And Father, thank you for every testimony that was shared today because of your goodness. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. And we are praising you together with everything that has breath. Father, I pray your blessing over every hearer of your word today. Go with us, Lord, through these holidays. Go with us, Lord, when we have fellowship with our friends, when we are still working, when we are making beds or cooking food. Father, I pray your protection over every person in this building. Father, and if it is your will, please bring us back here in your time. Father, we are so thankful for saving us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living King. Amen.